think the children's box made it this week? And the person that I gave the children's box to last, I haven't seen them in the last couple of weeks. So let's pray they come back next week. So I'm just going to go ahead and roll right on into the message for today and just share just a little bit of background before we get into it. For me, one of the reasons why I doubted and would not totally surrender my heart to Jesus for many years was because I'm like the original show me state guy, okay? You show me and I'll believe you. And we were just talking about that on the way over here today. I was the worst guy about coming up with inventions, you know what I'm saying? And I thought I was original on every one of them. I thought I was the only one that ever thought about these different inventions whenever I was a kid. But one invention that I came up with, somebody that was very close to me tried to tell me it wouldn't work, but he couldn't tell me why, okay? I'm going to tell you a little bit about this invention. It's kind of off the subject, but it's kind of fun to hear anyways. You'll get to hear how stupid I am, okay? I thought, you don't have to have all that scuba gear, you know, those tanks and stuff, to go down deep and look around and be able to breathe, right? I mean, why spend all that money? That's stupid. So I just decided if you just had a long enough hose, you could go as deep as you wanted. You know, and I thought this was an original idea. No one ever had this idea before me, okay? So I got me a long piece of garden hose. I rigged it up on a, you know, on a snorkel. Bought the snorkel. I mean, I didn't have a lot of money as a kid, but I spent some of it on a snorkel. Snorkel really disappointed me because the thing's only about that long. You can't go very deep, I'm just telling you. Have you ever done a snorkel? If you go too deep, you're majorly disappointed real quick whenever you take a breath. I stuck that hose over there, and I told my sister to hold the other end and make sure she didn't put it down in the water. I wasn't sure if I could trust her or not, but I did it anyways. And we had a little dock on the river, and the water probably wasn't over about 8 foot deep. And I went down all the way to the bottom, 8 or 10 foot deep, and I tried to breathe. Did you guys know that once you get below a certain depth, you cannot suck in a breath? I did not know that. You see, I just thought all these other guys were just missing it all along. They were spending money they didn't need to spend, you know, because I had it all rigged up, man. I mean, I was going to put this thing on a piece of styrofoam and have it to where it floated, and man, I'd be able to go anywhere I wanted. I had my hose. I'd be fine. But the reason why those guys, just a little newsflash for everybody, the reason why those guys have the pressurized air is because once you get down there, the pressure of the water against you, it has to blow your lungs up. I didn't know that, okay? So this guy who told me was my dad, and he just kept standing there saying, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. And I was like, well, dude, if you can't tell me why it's not going to work, I'm going to try it, okay? Come to find out, my grandpa, his dad, had already tried this. And guess what? It didn't work. It didn't work for him anymore. It worked for me. But you see, I really wanted to have some type of proof. It's funny when it comes to snorkels, but it's not so funny whenever it comes to salvation. Because, guys, when we're dealing with salvation, we're dealing with eternity. We're dealing with forever. And even after I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, because I saw I needed something, nothing else was helping me, I was undone. But there were still, I'm going to have to admit it, maybe some of you others never experienced this, maybe some of you did, maybe you can kind of relate, there were still some small doubts from time to time. And I could see how he changed my life. You know, I could see how he was helping to put together a marriage that was gone, but still it was like, could I really believe all this? Like every word. Because like this thing's big. You know what I'm saying? And could I really believe all of the whole thing about the crucifixion and everything? And I'm gonna share with you today one of the things that really nailed it down rock solid for me. Is if God could tell it beforehand exactly how it's gonna happen. And then hundreds or even 1,000 years afterwards, it happens exactly like he said it was going to happen. Wow. That really helps me. Because I'm that show me state guy. That shows me something. You see? And so we're coming up on Resurrection Sunday. It's just around the corner before we know it. And guys, that's why we invited the speaker tonight, so that you can see God meant it. He showed us. He let us experience it before it ever happened, because it's always been his plan. I just want you to know now, God wasn't up there in heaven looking at all the sin, wringing his hands, saying, oh no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I hate to see all these people go to hell, so I'm going to have to figure something out. Jesus, would you just go and do this, please? It wasn't like that, guys. We look back at the Old Testament, we can see this has been God's plan all along. Guys, we can go all the way back to the very first sin, and we can see images of the cross, of the Lamb. You know, He killed an animal to cover Adam and Eve, and I believe, it doesn't say what type of animal it was, but it was a covering of skin, a tunic of skin. An animal had to die, the very first animal death recorded right there. I believe it was a lamb. I just can't help but believe that it wasn't, but I know that it was a defenseless animal whose life had to die to pay for their sin. It was an image of what was going to happen further along, and so this year, leading up to the Passover, leading up to Resurrection Sunday, my heart's just really on, you know, Jesus as displayed in the Old Testament. The cross is displayed in the Old Testament. And so today, just to kind of get to the point, we're going to be getting into Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Because this is one of them, whenever I started reading through the Bible as a new Christian, I read this psalm. And I said, if this was really written 1,000 years before Jesus lived, it's got to be divine. Now, I didn't live 1,000 years before Jesus lived, so I'm not sure if maybe, you know, maybe this thing hasn't been tampered with. Did you ever think the Bible might have been tampered with? You know, like I say, maybe y'all don't deal with doubts, but I did. Dealt with a lot of doubts. A very skeptical human being. And I'm going to tell you, as far back as they can find manuscripts before Jesus lived, this psalm is exactly as it is here. So I want to help you remove some of those doubts if you have them. Let's read Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Guys, you can find that line in the New Testament. Jesus said that on the cross. Exact words. Guys, David wrote this about 1,080 years before Jesus ever lived. He says, why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. You ever feel like that? David felt like that. Jesus felt like that. We feel like that. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted in you, delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Remember, God has never let us down, guys. That's what He's saying. But, verse 6, I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. Oh, those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. We ever hear those words in the New Testament? At the cross. At the cross. Those exact words by the onlookers scoffing. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is has melted within me. David is writing this 1,000 years before Jesus. And this is describing to a T the cross. Do you know that whenever you're hanging from a cross, your joints dislocate? Because of all the pressure of your body is hanging on those nails with your arms all spread out like this, it dislocates your shoulders. It draws your chest together where you can't breathe. And in that experience, you've got to push up with the nails that are in your feet to try to get a breath. Guys, when the sword or the spear went up into Jesus to see if he was still alive, because his bones couldn't be broken because the scripture said so, they found that his heart had melted within him like wax. Blood and water poured out. I know that this sounds kind of graphic, guys, but this is what our Lord went through for us, and this is 1,000 years before it happened. We continue to read on. He says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. He hung there, and he needed a drink, right? Can you remember that? What did they give him? Vinegar. I just had a dear sister telling me this morning I needed to drink vinegar. How many of you have ever drank vinegar? How's it taste? It's pretty rough. It does not quench your thirst. Jesus, this was what was offered to him when his tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth. Told 1,000 years before it happened. You have brought me to the dust of death, it says in the latter part of 15. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. 1,000 years before Jesus ever lived, these words were said by a man whose hands and feet were never pierced. I want you to hear this. David is being a prophet right now, speaking the word of God. He says, I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. This is the cross. These were the soldiers who 1,000 years later would do that very thing for his garment. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword. My precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. Oh, you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. Every believer in Jesus Christ is an offspring of Israel. You are engrafted branches today. You are spiritual Israel, and if you fear God, you praise him. 1,000 years before he even died, it would be told how he was going to save us. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever, eternal life. He's speaking of all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. This is still happening today, guys. This is still happening today. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. That's Revelation right there, guys. Every nation, tribe, and tongue is going to be around the throne worshiping Jesus in heaven. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Amen? All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Those on earth, and he even says in Philippians 2, those under the earth are going to worship Jesus. Even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. He's going to have offspring, so to speak. Jesus had no offspring on earth. His offspring came after. We are part of that. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. That he has done this. He has done it. There was a people yet to be born. It's us who's reading that today, who's seen that it was Jesus that was being spoken of all along. And we pass that on to future generations. Brothers and sisters, I'm just telling you right now, praise God.
He told it beforehand so that we would believe it when we see it.
He told this beforehand for a person like me, who through his doubts wants to worship God with my everything. And so, yes, God even gave me proof. You know, we're going to come back with some other Old Testament scriptures in the future, but this one I started out with because I'm just going to tell you guys, when I read those words, can't help but weep. Jesus felt everything for us. Jesus suffered for us. We see the cross right here from the Old Testament perspective in Psalm 22, and it happened exactly as he said. So let's break this down just a little bit. I'm not going to take a lot of time in this, but I really want us to let this soak in because it has significance for us today in more than one way. First of all, who wrote the Psalm? King David. I was saying 1,080. It would have been 1,048 B.C., and Jesus lived for 30-plus years. Okay? So it was just right at 1,070 to 1,080 years before he actually died on the cross. That's when King David wrote this. So, who is the psalm obviously talking about? It's obviously talking about Jesus here, right? There ain't no doubt. Guys, it's uncanny. Nails piercing, right? They pierced my hands, my feet. They stared at me. They gloated over me. They reviled me. My tongue stuck to the roof of my mouth. My bones felt out of joint. He felt forsaken, but then remembered that God had heard his prayers. He was going to deliver him. He rose on the third day because God heard that. You see, God's faithfulness did not let him down. So we see this is obviously talking about Jesus. So now my next question, did David experience any of this? He didn't experience the cross, but he did experience suffering. And I believe that when he was writing this cross, this psalm about the cross, David was feeling a portion of this. He was going through a time of suffering. If we read a lot of the psalms, we see David was a man who went through some tough times. Some of them he even brought on himself. He did indeed feel some suffering, but even more importantly, guys, through his suffering, he was being a foreshadow of the Christ. He was a type of Christ pointing the way forward to the one who would come and feel the ultimate suffering. So, David's suffering had a significance that was bigger than him. And I'm just going to tell you, reassures me because of what it does for my faith in showing me who the Christ is. Shows me the cross 1,000 years before. But it also reassures me when I'm going through suffering. Now, I don't get the place to be able to be before Christ and my suffering's going to point people to Christ for all the days to come. But when I go through suffering, there is still a bigger significance. And I can point people to Christ as I go through. You see, by seeing David's suffering had a bigger significance than just him, it reminds me. And so I'm just going to ask a question. Do you ever go through suffering? Do we ever go through suffering? Absolutely. I know many of you are probably going through suffering right now of some sort. Don't think it's odd, guys. Sometimes we think, well, if I'm a Christian, how come I'm suffering? Read the scripture. Philippians 1, 29 through 30. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, Paul, and now here is in me. Guys, Paul suffered. He was a real believer. We are going to suffer as real believers. So when you suffer, don't think all hope is lost. I must not be a believer. No. In fact, it might be an encouragement. So hang in there. Whatever you're going through, hang in there. It will be worth it, guys. It's going to be worth it. Our suffering is part of a bigger picture. God is painting this big picture, guys. And we're all just like a little piece of it, like a mosaic of sorts. You ever see a mosaic? Take all those little broken pieces, you know, of pottery or of tiles, and you put the different colors in their right place, and they get this big picture out of it. Guys, Jesus painting the picture right now, and he's using our lives. And our suffering has significance that's bigger than just what I'm going through right now. It's got a much bigger outcome, so hang in there, because in the long run it's going to be worth it, guys. Just think, David suffered to paint a picture of the cross over 1,000 years before it happened, the picture of redemption. And he's still painting that picture today through us. I'm going to share with you one of the most painful experiences in my life was feeling estranged from my wife. We really suffered for a long time in our marriage. I had done a lot of things that really hurt her. And she wasn't perfect either. I think she would admit that. But guys, whenever I didn't feel as close to her as I'd like to, it really hurt. It really hurt. I don't think there's any pain any worse than that for a married person. I mean, we become one and then we're not as close as we want to be. And it hurt. And whenever we started into the time of healing, it seemed like God was tearing us apart. And what I found out was he had to. Because we had clung so tightly together that we had forced him out. And he had to tear us apart and put us in neutral corners so that then he could get in the right place, right where he needed to be, and bring us back together. And whenever we came back together with him in the center of our relationship, it's so much better than I could have ever asked for now. And there's no way I could have known that. And he did it not only for us, but so I could share it with you today. You see, he's painting a bigger picture. And he's healing marriages even in this room today. And I just want to give you a word of encouragement. Don't give up early. Stay the course. Because the best is yet to come with Jesus. I can assure you, not just for your marriage, but guys, even at the end of this road, when we pass over into glory, it's only going to get better. You know, he told me I'm not going to be married to that woman in heaven. There's been a couple days I said, all right, amen. And then other days, I'm like, oh, man. You know what I found out? If I'm not, it's because what we're going to have there is better than what we have here. Isn't that awesome? But guys, I got to hang on to Jesus to get there. The picture he's painting is bigger than us. So let's hang in there, amen? I don't know what kind of hurting you're going through right now, but I'm just telling you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you that you need. Get a hold of Jesus, hang on to Jesus, and don't you let go. You be like that woman who was in that crowd pressing forward because she knew she needed a healing, and if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she'd get it. She pressed through a whole crowd to do it, and she got what she was needing. She got what she was looking for, and she got more than she was looking for. Guys, he turned around, hunted her down so that he could tell her, I'm the way. She got a healing, and she got salvation. She got the real healing. Guys, what I'm going to do for us right now is I'm just going to pray for us, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. And you may have some hurt or hang up or something you need to bring to this altar. But I'm just going to tell you the answer is Jesus. Because just like David suffered so he could point forward to Jesus, I've suffered. And I'm going to point you forward to Jesus. And then you've suffered and you point others forward to Jesus. He's the way. Let's pray. Your Father, thank you for sending the way, the truth, and the life. Your Son, very own piece of yourself, the Trinity of God, Lord. Jesus came. One member of that Trinity took on human flesh, felt all our pains and sorrows, and David got the privilege of suffering ahead of time to point the way to Christ. Lord, you've given us the privilege when we have to suffer today. I'm not going looking for it, but when I have it, I got to realize it ain't all about me. There's a bigger picture being painted here. And what my responsibility in that is to keep pointing to Christ. Lord, you got a room full of people here right now. It may look small whenever we look at the population of the United States or even the population of our county. But Lord, what you can do through the people in this room is beyond our imagination. Because you're God. You took 12 men, one of them was a traitor, and you changed the world through those men. We are still learning from what they taught us. Lord, we've got a room full of people right here, and many of them are feeling suffering of different types. Let them come to the foot of the cross today. Find the healing that they need. Lord, let us be fully surrendered to you, and ultimately, unto salvation. Salvation of our souls. Trust Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all rise for our song of invitation. Altar is open for anybody that wants to come up.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cloud, not is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That we never can prove the delight of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. In fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He shed on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
I want to to give us all an opportunity. Does anybody have any testimonies or praises or anything they want to share? Shelly? Man, we got visitors from Kansas. They get the gold star for coming the furthest. Absolutely. Sister Sandy? Amen. Amen. God's watching over you. Shelly? He is so faithful. He really is. Geraldine? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any others? All right. Do we have any birthdays?
We do. He's coming down the track. Come on, Weston.
All right, y'all can have a seat if you like.
He was sneaking around the backside.